Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Jesus had it all. He was in heaven, in a perfect relationship with His Father and the Holy Spirit. He was in control over all creation. All was made through Him and all was held together by Him. What was left to want? Clearly something. Something that was extremely valuable to Him. See, His creatures, the ones that He loved deeply, had turned against Him. They had made Him an enemy. They had gone their own way in defiance. They marched towards eternal destruction, blind to the consequences of their actions. See, Jesus may have had it all, but He saw that His most prized possessions were being stolen from Him. And so, He descended to earth freely. He was made lower than the angels for a little while for one reason, so that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone. See, through suffering, He was made perfect, so that also through suffering, He would make propitiation for the sins of the people. Now, you've heard this many times. You know what it means. God created, man sinned, Jesus saved. It's all head knowledge. The question I have today is this: do you really get the depth of His action? Does your heart feel it? The weight of what He has done? Our God, who had everything subjected to Him. Our God, who has the power to create and to destroy, humiliated Himself. He humbled Himself and became man. Now, that word humiliation, it's not used because He considers His creation evil, but because the Creator also became the created. The potter became both the potter and the clay. And the vessel that was formed through suffering, attracted unto it every imperfection of mankind, every sin from every time. And that perfect vessel, once spotless, was now defiled and filled to the very brim with every assault against God. And it was hung on the cross and it was forsaken. Once spotless, it's now defiled. Once in perfect communion with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now separated. Once experiencing heaven, now suffering hell. And all the while, all through this spiritual and physical torment, He was mediating forgiveness on our behalf. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is the humiliation of God, that His Son would subject Himself to this kind of pain for the sake of His creation. That He would take it upon Himself the work that was necessary for our salvation. He could have simply just destroyed everything and started anew. But he didn't. He took the form of man. And he placed upon it your sins and mine. And for those who believe, he sculpts us onto him so that he can transfer over the victory of eternal life to us. You see, not only did he have to come down and save us, he had to attach us directly to him. He had to indwell in us and allow us to indwell in him. He couldn't save us from arm's length. He had to come down and get messy. He had to get personal. He had to become one of us so that he could destroy that which was destroying us. Our epistle states this, starting in verse 14. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he likewise shared in their humanity, so that through death he could destroy the one who holds the very power of death, that is the devil, and set free those who were held in slavery all their lives by their fear of death. See that perfect vessel, once defiled with sin of mankind, was crucified. And for those who have been baptized by the very blood of Christ, have been attached to that vessel, sculpted onto the body of Jesus, so that they can share in his death and resurrection, so that they can enjoy the salvation that he has earned for them. The body, the blood that was shed, the suffering that was experienced, washed that vessel clean. It removed the stain of sin and the pain of death, but it didn't remove the baptized. They still remain attached forever. They are in Christ, and Christ is in them. They are forever able to experience the benefit of his work. Again, from our epistle. For indeed, he who makes holy and those being made holy all have the same origin. So he is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. What beauty there is in this passage. What abounding love is described within. And we can only begin to understand the work that Christ completed. We can only begin to appreciate the impact that it had on us. Do we meditate on this? Do we really get it? See, in our baptism, we may be made brothers and sisters of Jesus, but all too often, we take that for granted. Our Father made Jesus lower than the angels for a little while, but too often, we grab onto his robes and try to pull him lower, beneath our own feet. Instead of looking up to Jesus, instead of turning over our lives, the lives that he suffered and died to save, we want to look down to him. Instead of being subjected to his will, we desire him to be subjected to ours. Instead of trusting, we ask him to trust. Dear Jesus, we pray, please make this or that work out for me. So often, we go to the cross not to hear words of forgiveness, but to hear the words, Father, forgive them. Because we believe that these words don't apply to us. We are better than that. We don't need his forgiveness like those people do over there. See, this is who we are. This is what we do. The letter to Hebrews was written for this same reason. Same problems that we experience today are the same problems that caused him to pen this letter. We're a sinful bunch, repeatedly reminded of Christ's forgiveness and repeatedly taking it for granted. And so, just as the author warned in his original audience, he warns us this morning. We must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. And how do we do this? How do we protect ourselves from drifting away? We do it by anchoring ourselves to Christ, by attaching everything to Him, by moving the knowledge of Him from our head to our heart. It happens when we read this passage, not just as a history lesson, but as a personal love letter that Jesus writes to us. It happens when we recognize that His letter targets our hearts and not just our minds. It happens when we open up His Word and we read God's Word because it has power. It happens when we come to the table of Christ and share His body and His blood. See, it happens when we let Jesus in. When we do, when we subject our lives to His will, we discover that message of love. Every breath we take, every decision we make, every person we meet, we affect as Christ is working through us. And this is how we ensure that we never take Him for granted. Please pray with me. Lord, our minds cannot grasp the magnitude of Your actions. Our hearts cannot comprehend the depth of Your love. Protect us, O Lord, from ceasing to try. Protect us from neglecting Your gift of salvation. In Your name we pray. Amen.